I am not leaving this place before they let me see him, she thought. Vokara Che's expression hardened. If you're not comfortable with receiving Jedi treatment, Senator, I can see you escorted to a med center. Or, you're not escorting me anywhere. I want...
Padme, said a quiet voice behind her. Master Vokara Che hurried forward.
Master Kenobi, what are you doing?
Heart thudding, Padme turned.
Obi-Wan.
Still in his slashed and burned Jedi tunic, unhealed as yet, standing with difficulty in the doorway of a small chamber, clinging to its framework so he didn't fall down. His face was pale, his eyes were darkened with fatigue and pain and something else. She thought,
despair? No, it can't be. Jedi don't feel things like that, at least not this Jedi.
I'm sorry, Vokara Che, he said quietly. But I need a moment alone with the Senator.
I don't think that's wise, said the Jedi healer,
one hand clasping his shoulder, unrepentantly aggravated.
You are a whisper away from collapse, Obi-Wan. I don't understand it. You should have been healed by now. I expressly sent...
And I sent her away, said Obi-Wan, apologetic. I'd rather not be sunk in a healing trance until I've seen my Padawan.
You're as bad as she is,
Vokara Che clicked her tongue.
Very well, you have a moment.
Padme watched the healer withdraw, then looked again at Obi-Wan. After a moment's hesitation, she approached him, feeling suddenly young and gauche, like a childish apprentice. She tilted her chin.
Vokara Che's right. You look awful.
Do you truly think you're helping Anakin? Said Obi-Wan. His voice was tight. His eyes were glazed. You're not. You don't belong here, Padme. Let them treat you, then go home, before Yoda returns. Before things get... complicated. She stared at him, shocked. She wanted to shout at him. She wanted to weep. Instead, she turned to leave. What else could she do? Upon his return to Coruscant, Yoda put duty first. Instead of going straight to the temple's halls of healing, he answered a peremptory summons from the office of the Supreme Chancellor. Naboo's former senator was clearly anxious to hear firsthand of Geonosis. The language used was barely couched in the protocols accepted and expected for such communications. It wasn't a meeting he anticipated with any kind of pleasure. More and more of late, it seemed the Jedi were being drawn into politics, into matters of legislation and legalese that had never been their province. The Jedi were sworn to uphold the Republic and protect its ideals, not entangle themselves in the fortunes of any one chancellor. Political careers were not their affair. Personalities were supposed to be irrelevant. But somehow, Palpatine was changing that. Not by being a bully or imposing his will, quite the opposite. He was constantly resisting the Senate's eagerness for him to assume more and more executive powers. He resisted, the Senate insisted, so reluctantly Palpatine agreed. And every time he acquiesced to its requests, he turned once more to the Jedi for advice. It was hardly an ideal situation. The Jedi Council was not just another branch of the executive office. But how, in good conscience, could it refuse to aid a man who so humbly petitioned for their assistance? A man who championed them in the Senate at every opportunity? Who had worked tirelessly for peace since assuming the highest political office in the galaxy, and was now faced with the daunting, terrifying task of keeping their vast republic intact? How could the Jedi Council turn its back on such a man? Clearly, it couldn't. Clearly, in the face of these extraordinary times, the Jedi must set aside their traditions and come to the aid of the man a galaxy looked to as its savior. But that didn't mean they had to be happy about it.